Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harrison with our Panther Rants podcast. Happy Friday, you guys. We're almost at the end of March, which is crazy, but you know, we'll be in April, and I'm sure the weather is going to get better. I know here in Houston, we're going to get with the 100-degree weather eventually. That's going to be, I'm looking at the temperature. Let's say it's going to be 80s all this week coming up. You know, the pollen obviously has kicked in here, so I'm sure eventually you guys will be doing that same thing too up in the Northeast with all, you know, with the pollen and your cars being green and loading up on Flonase and Claritin and whatnot. But, you know, I looked at the weather for Pittsburgh, and it's, you guys going to be in a mix, it's going to be a mixture of 40s, 50s, 60-degree weather you're going to have, and I guess it's better than nothing for right now. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, when you look at the weather, you know, back in the day before smartphones, you just stuck your hand out the window or the door, and you already knew what kind of day it was going to be. Whereas now you have the weather app, and you can just check on your phone now. But the thing I've noticed is a lot of times the app itself is very misleading. It'll tell you it'll be like 70 degrees today, but it may get up to 50 or whatever. So I always recommend sticking to the old-fashioned method with the hand out the door or out the window, because you know you'll know it's cold, but you always know what kind of day it's going to be. You're like, oh yeah, it's going to be cold today. Oh, you know, it's cold, but it feels like it's going to be warm. It's going to get warm. I mean, there's just a lot of analytical stuff you can do, you know, just by doing that. Anyways, Pitt Hoops is adding Robert Morris next year for basketball to their schedule. They're going to play in Robert Morris's new UPMC sports complex. And, you know, it's a multifunctional center with a whole bunch of stuff. And it is a 4,000-seat basketball arena that they're putting in. And, you know, it's good for Robert Morris. And, you know, they obviously need a new court. I mean, it's not big, but their fan base isn't big either. But fourth, I mean, that's a beautiful court, and it's going to help recruiting. I'm sure if the facilities are going to be a lot better as well. So, you know, good for Bobby Moe. You know, I know some people get obsessed with the arena size, but you know, Penn State has a big ass arena with the BJC, and they don't do dick for basketball. So, I mean, you know, Gonzaga has a small base, but you know, look what Gonzaga has done every year since 1998-99. I mean, that's just phenomenal. I mean, Cameron Indoor's 70,000 Cameron Indoor, I think. So size isn't everything in terms of, you know, college hoops. It's the motion of the ocean. Whereas you get into college football, it's a little different. You know, it's a whole, you get some fans that just get this whole penis envy type thing with crowd size. So we got 100,000 for our game. We're taking 30 to our bowl game. And I mean, you know, that used to mean something, but now with the playoff and stuff, it's, especially with traveling to bowl games, now we have the college playoff, nobody really gives a shit how many you're taking to bowl games or what bowl game you won. No one cares now, because it's all about the freaking playoff. Kind of sucks in some ways, but for me, as a Pitt fan, I don't, you know, for me, I don't care now because, you know, oh, you won a Capital One Bowl. That's great. I don't care. Oh, you won the Alamo Bowl. Oh, that's awesome. You took 30,000 fans. Good for you. Good for you guys. And what did you get with that? Oh, you got a trophy. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Nobody gives a fuck about the Alamo Bowl or the Capital One or whatnot. You know, I mean, obviously the BCS was a braggable thing because you could say, well, you know, we played in the Fiesta Bowl, BCS. That was great. Now with the playoff, you just can't do that no more. I mean, you can't go, well, we play in the Group of Five Bowl. Yeah, that's the Group of Five. See, okay, good. You got a. It's like you got. It's like okay. It's saying you didn't make the playoff, but here have this. Here's this awesome bowl game. It's just yeah. The playoffs pretty much took away a lot of meaning for a lot of that stuff. I mean, sure, maybe it helps with your recruiting, but to what degree? I mean, hard to say. But getting back on the subject. You know, they stopped playing a few years back. I think after maybe 2011, I think they stopped playing. Yeah, it was one of the many. It was one of the you know the two rivalries that you know that was discontinued under Jamie Dixon, and it was this one, the Backyard Brawl. Kevin Stallings brought back the Backyard Brawl, so now he played West Virginia now, and you know we brought back Robert Morris, which is good. We should, I mean, which gets to my next thing. Pitt has run to a scheduling snafu with Hoops, and they're not going to play Robert Morris. They're not going to play Duquesne next year, which is there's no C game all next year. And at one point, supposedly, PGH Sports Now, they reported supposedly there was no agreement. The continue the series, which was kind of odd, and they do have an agreement now, but they're not going to play again for another year. So, I just read an article this morning about it. Alan Saunders of the PGA Sports Now. He wrote a nice article about it, about the whole thing. And he understands the scheduling crap, but. Pitt's obviously going to play more conference games, supposedly, but they have, a invitational coming up and a whole bunch of other stuff. And Duquesne has their scheduling issues, too. But, he said it's unacceptable. This game should be played no matter what. They should find a way. And you hope they do. And, the game should be played every year, no matter what. Pitch your play of Duquesne, Robert Morris, and West Virginia. I would like to say they should play Penn State too, but Penn State doesn't want to play us in Hoops for a reason. Penn State has other than like Olympic sports, Penn State doesn't really they're not crazy about playing us in the revenue sports like hoop like basket like college hoops and football these days. Football, that's another story for another day. But, I'm kind of bummed there will be no C game next year because it's always a great game to look forward to. And, Duquesne loves it as well. And rivalries are good for college sports. If you stop playing the people that hate you, it can get boring sometimes. It takes away all that luster. You got to have people in college athletics. You got to have, other programs that hate you. It makes all worthwhile. So let's hope that they get to some sort of agreement. Play the game somewhere. Just play it in some random park. I don't care. Just play the game. But hopefully in the future they avoid stuff like this. I know it's different, but yeah. So anyways, guys, other local Pittsburgh stuff, the media, the local media has been in a war with the national media over the Le'Veon Bell AB stuff. And I said in the last podcast that, you're not going to change people's opinions and whatnot. And the national media has their own narratives, and they're doing stuff that sells for clicks and likes and whatnot. And this is why you get, you know, these survey. This is why the media itself, the people actually do the writing, do the actual objective stuff, get pissed off when they have to hear surveys about how the average U.S. citizen doesn't really doesn't think much of the media, and that they're always pandering to something. I believe that was a survey not too long ago about that, or pandering to sources or something like that. And a lot of people took objection to it. And, you know, stuff like this is why, you know, people get mad about this. Average people get mad about this. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell obviously did an interview about the whole thing. And supposedly he wanted to play in week one. He wanted to accept a deal and he wanted to play. And something obviously changed. And in the interview, obviously, he talks and he babbles and talks in circles. And obviously, he piggybacks off the Antonio Brown narrative about Ben Roethlisberger. And pretty much what they're doing is now is they're just throwing their quarterback under the bus. And yeah, I mean, Ben supposedly has a reputation for being a dickhead. And he was one even before all this. You know, obviously Ben's blameless but he's pretty much been a convenient person for him to throw under the bus over it. And, you know, we can analyze a lot why. And they're saying he has an owner's mentality. I mean, in what way does he have an owner's mentality? I mean, does he... If he's holding you accountable, that's not an owner's mentality. That's more of a, you know, your boss, a lead. That's what leaders do. They hold you accountable for stuff. Maybe Ben had a shitty way of doing it through his, you know, through TV shows and his radio shows, whatever. I mean, if you have accountability issues with guys, you've got to do it in-house. Have meetings, talk to them. So, and of course, you know, the local media had some issues with Le'Veon Bell's story, and they were saying, you know, tweeting at him, and basically doing that stuff is just a waste of time with these guys, because all they're doing is it's bait. They're throwing bait out there for them, and all they're doing is they're taking whatever words are being thrown at them, they're twisting it to fit with their narrative. I think in the end, what happened with Le'Veon Bell is this: he wanted to accept his deal. His agent gave him bad advice, and now look at him. I mean, he still got paid, but if he would have actually, I don't know, listened to the, you know, maybe read the fine print, he would have been. He would have got paid a lot more. And people always keep saying, well, he got 30, you know, $33 million guaranteed than the $15 million or $14 million he would have got last with his franchise tag. He profited. And what these morons fail to forget is before the franchise tag, the Steelers offered him a lot bigger deal than that. But of course, people don't research or read or whatnot on Twitter. They just take whatever people throw at them. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, he got what he wanted, and he's happy, and life goes on. But it seems like he got some bad advice from his agent, and personally, I would fire his agent. But, you know, that's just me. All right, March Madness started this week. Yeah, yesterday, actually, started, and, you know, I'm working from home today, so I'm going to try to flip it on. If I'm not getting blown up with tickets here, you know, I was up late working a slowness issue with our stuff, and that sucks. But as far as the games go, well, first of all, let's look at Auburn and New Mexico State, the 12-5 matchup. I had Auburn winning this one, but Bruce Pearl, obviously, and his team was finding every convenient way to blow this game. And of course, New Mexico State had a chance to tie it at the end. And what happened? The guy from New Mexico State drives the ball down the lane. I mean, he had his guy beat. He goes in for the layup, it looks like. Looks like we're about to have a tie game. But at the last minute, he kicks the ball out for a three. And the guy obviously got fouled. And I think he ended up just shooting two, I think. Play on the highlights, and of course, or maybe he shot the three. He was fouled shooting a three, but he only made one free throw, I think, and Auburn survived. And the weird thing about it is all they needed was a two, and even the final possession when it was with 1.1 seconds left, all they needed was a two as well. But he kicked it out to an open. They set up for an open three, which I thought was odd. I thought they should, with 1.1 seconds left, I would have got the ball inside and try to draw a foul or something. But then again, I'm not a coach. Maybe that doesn't work. But the guy had a wide open three and he airballed it. But I mean, that just, I don't know why he kicked out for a three. I don't know if the guy was really thinking, and you know. That's what, you know, some people have told me, you know, that they coach basketball. What they don't like about the Golden State Warriors is they got everybody wanting to shoot three-pointers now. Whereas, you know, the mid-range jumper or driving down a hole has just become, I guess, I don't know, boring. I mean, I see it a lot, you know, being in Houston, I see a lot with the 3 points. I mean, the Rockets love to shoot threes, and of course they bricked 27 three-pointers in Game 7 to lose to the Warriors. The Rockets still blame the officials for rigging that game for the Warriors, but it's hard to make that assumption when you missed 27 three-pointers when you could have, you know, if you would have just converted them to twos, maybe you're actually playing, you know, LeBron in the finals. But the Game 7, you know, wasn't a surprise. Them losing those last two didn't surprise me, especially after Chris Paul got hurt, because he was the leader on that floor, no matter what people, you know, say about Harden. But Paul was more of a leader, and they needed that. That's why they got him in the first place, because they knew they weren't going to get any further with just James Harden. And I think really what the loss that really upset me the most out of that series was Game 1, because Houston had a chance to, you know, set the tone early, and they just came out flat. And once Golden State won that first game, you knew that it was going to be a long series. And then once Paul got hurt, that was it. They were done. But from a Pitt perspective, we all remember Nasir Robinson when he when Gilbert Brown missed the second free throw attempt at the end of the Butler game. Yeah, Gilbert Brown tied it, and we had a chance to win the game if he made it. And for some reason, his form on the free throw wasn't good, and it bricked out. And Matt Howard got the rebound, and of course, Howard, who loved the flop, this time didn't, because Nasir Robinson did the work for him. Nasir Robinson grabbed his freaking arm and drew a foul. And now if you rewatch that game, the referees were calling a lot of tic-tac stuff, especially Gilbert Brown's foul as well. It was pretty tic-tac itself, but the guy ran into him. You know, they were going for the ball, Brown had it, and he ran into him, so of course you call a foul. A lot of times, you know, in those situations, you let him play, but yeah, the refs were just calling everything, and yeah, and Nasir Robinson was a dumb one, but I think now he can breathe, because there's somebody that did something a lot more dumber than he did. I mean, it wasn't totally all Nasir Robinson's fault. I mean, that second free throw, Jamie Dixon should have had his guys away from there. And, of course, you know, Jamie could have taken some sort of accountability for it, but he didn't. And he just left Nasir Robinson hung out the dry. I mean, he really didn't come to the guy's defense as much, or, you know, say, hey, it's on me. But, and if anything, that really was what set the tone for next year's when they went to the CBI. you know, Jimmy had a personality conflict with his players, and there was a lot of imbattling going on. And, you know, and then on top of that, you had Ken Birch leaving. And, yeah, that was pretty much, you know, the beginning of the end. But anyways, look at the rest of the teams. LSU barely beat Yale, and everybody had Yale winning that one for some reason. I don't know why. Florida State beat Vermont. Minnesota beat Louisville, and I wasn't surprised by that. People were saying, you know, that Pitino's probably dancing with joy over this, and I don't see why Rick Pitino would be. Maybe because his son, you know, Richard, you know, won the game. But Louisville is a mess because of Rick Pitino right now. And so, you know, with Chris Mack, they have a long road ahead, and they'll eventually get there with some good recruiting because he's a hell of a recruiter and a hell of a coach. Michigan State beats Bradley. Bradley, as you know, had some issues. I guess supposedly they banned some reporter from covering them because of the negativity, and it happens. I mean, you know, especially in Houston, Tom Herman stopped going on 610 radio because they were always reporting negative stuff about the Cougars, and he stopped going on and making appearances with them because of that. Murray State hammers Marquette, and, you know, I mean, I picked the Murray State to win that game, and I just wasn't crazy about Marquette, and I had, you know, Villanova losing to St. Mary's because I figured the Gales were playing. I thought, you know, this was one of those games where, you know, after a championship season, I think Villanova loses in the opening round, but they won it. It was barely. St. Mary's gave them a hell of a game. Wofford swallowed Seton Hall, and I had Seton Hall winning that one, and just wild. And I had Syracuse beating Baylor, and they lost the, you know, then Baylor won. I mean, I figured Syracuse would give them fits with their zone, but Syracuse, you know, lost the key piece, and that was that. But the Big Ten out in the opening on the opening day was 5-0, and you know, Big Ten was actually a pretty deep conference this year, and I, you know, you can, you know, Penn State, you know, to their credit, Pat Chambers sucks as a coach, but they have a very talented team, and they won some games down the stretch. So yeah, it's a deep league. So I have, let's see, Michigan State going to the Final Four. I mean, you could easily have a Michigan State Final Four. I mean, depending on how things go. But we've got some games today. You know, Iowa, Cincinnati is playing. UVA plays Gardner Webb, and that's a big one because obviously UVA lost, you know, as a one seed, lost to a 16 seed. Tennessee's playing today against Colgate. Buffalo and Arizona State should be a good one because, you know, Nate Oates is a hell of a coach, and he's going against Bobby effing Hurley. But other than that, let's see, you know, obviously Houston, North Carolina's playing. There's not really much, you know, many games that stand out at this point, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I made sure all my brackets were done, so I'm looking forward to it. So closing out, we got, it was reported that, that Colin Kaepernick, his deal that the Eric Reid got for the settlement was less than $10 million. You know, I actually thought that they got more than that, and they may have. But supposedly, but from what I've been reading, is that from reading it, that seems that Kaepernick's camp was gloating a little bit too much over the settlement, as if they, you know, broke the bank, and which led to this number being leaked out that. That they only got $10 million. They really got next to nothing out of it because $10 million between Kaepernick and Eric Reid, and of course you factor in lawyer fees, and well, there you go. It's a lot less. So, yeah. And obviously, Kaepernick's trying to find a job now, and he's trying to, he likes the Miami job, but the thing about that was, as you guys remember, when he was down there, he wore a shirt with Malcolm X and Fidel Castro on it, and he tried to pass it off as a shirt. It was a shirt about Malcolm X, which, you know, I can understand him trying to do that, but it had Castro on it, and it, you know, obviously they were being buddy buddies in this shirt that he had, and yeah, I felt like, you know, that type of thing you shouldn't really wear in Miami, and people took objections to it, and I think there was a media person who he's a reporter in Miami, and he went after Kaepernick about it, and Kaepernick's responses were pretty tone deaf and robotic. I don't think he was really getting what, you know, this person was talking about, and which to me is probably one of the reasons why you don't see, you know, Kaepernick in talking to me as much, and he spends more of his time on social media doing his communications, because I think it's probably a good idea. But I thought Kaepernick's deal would have been more. What I thought was, when the AAF was approaching him for a position, and supposedly he wanted $20 million to play in the AAF. I figured that was the amount he got, because I thought, you know, because the next day after that story leaked is when they settled. You know, I think it was like Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday, the story came out that Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play in the AAF, and then Friday, it came out that they settled. And I thought, to me, I figured maybe he threw that number out there, and then the NFL said, okay, he wants $20 million, so let's give him $20 million to settle this and move on with our lives. That's an issue. What I thought, and maybe, who knows? Maybe he got $20 million. But, you know, the dollar amount, everything about this case will always be debated, no matter what. Everybody has a source of what happened. Everybody has a source or opinion, and you're not, and opinions, obviously, you're not going to convince them otherwise. So it's just a waste of time, and just like this thing is. And there's no doubt the guy should still be playing in the league. And hopefully he finds something soon. It's been 2 years. He should already have something. So there's talk that he's turned down a whole bunch of positions, and I don't know for a fact. And if he has been, I'm wondering what's wrong with him. But I have no idea. But otherwise, I hope he finds something soon. Anyways, guys, I'm going to finish up here. You guys have a great weekend. Watch some hoops and some hockey, because, you know, that's going on. And, of course, the NBA playoffs, you know, right around the corner. I mean, we got about maybe a lot of these teams have 10 or 12 games left. And, hey, we're coming up on that. And it looks pretty, you know, it's looking pretty good. I mean, obviously, the Lakers are going to be out of it. And so I'm sure LeBron's camp's got some work to do in the offseason. But anyways, guys, hell to Pitt. Talk to you later. Bye.